Today on Real Radio.
When we confess our sins to the Lord and clear up the fog, then the communication lines are clean again. We don't cease to be His kids. We're just locked in our bedroom.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. And this week we're in a mini-series that's taken from the first part of chapter 6. This is where an angel appears to Gideon and calls him to deliver Israel from the Midianites. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Let a Man Arise.
The scripture in the New Testament and the Old, for that matter, over and over again speaks about discipline. When a church is erring, the pastor is supposed to call that church into discipline. The pastor is supposed to say, in fact, you've read it in Corinthians and Book of Acts and other places, that when somebody who professes to be a believer is doing something they ought not to be doing, you're supposed to go to that person and confront them. Now, what does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? That doesn't matter. What does it mean from the Bible? That's what matters. Confront them? Does it mean you walk up to them and say, "Hey, you foul, wretched backslider, you?" No, that's wrong. Is that ever done? Yep, in the name of God even, and it's dead wrong. If a pastor or pastors love your soul, they will go to you and they will deal with it biblically. And by the way, they won't spread it around town either. That is evil. I got a phone call one time from a pastor, and it forever sealed my doom with that person. Because that a certain pastor called me and said, "Hey, you know what? You need to be on your toes, because there's somebody that's going to come over to your church, and they're this way and that way and this way and that way." And I said, "You know what? I don't see that anywhere in Scripture. Have you gone to this person? Have you told them this?" "No." And forever in my mind, that person was blacklisted in my head because of that call that came in advance. That's evil. That's wrong. Listen, the Word of God is the foundation for any rebuke or discipline. And listen to this very carefully. From the Word of God, you must show them their error. In your life, you say, "Well, Pastor, can you come and fix the situation between me and my friend?" No, no, you're supposed to do that. As a church here over this, I'm supposed to do this. When you leave this building, you're supposed to deal with it in the lives that you come in contact with. So watch this. From the Word of God, you must show them their error. And you do it humbly. Has someone hurt you? Don't raise your hand. Has someone hurt you? Are you at odds with somebody right now? Go to them. Bible open, humbly. And don't go to them with your finger going this way. Point to the Bible and talk to them. Tell them you love them. For Christ's sake, in the name of Jesus, I love you. For Jesus' sake, I love you. This seems to be the way I see this. The Bible says here, go to the Word of God. This is what you cannot do. Never can a Christian do this, but this is what Christians do rather than obey the Word of God. They say things like this: "I felt like," or "I feel that," or listen to this, biggest cover-up of sin ever. And it's a big, big problem. And it's sin. "God told me." "God told me to tell you that that's sin." Open up the Bible. Listen, if someone is lying about you or hurting you, go to the Bible. In fact, listen, we ought to jot this down, for these few scriptures here. It's great. 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof," that's conviction, "for correction," that's, the word means actually to reset the bone, to fix that which is broken, For instruction, that is to show somebody the right way. In righteousness, that is to follow Christ. Now the book of Galatians, from there, Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Listen, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? The law of love. So when God judges Israel, as he's going to be doing in chapter 6, everything God does is from the direction of love. You and I should be doing the same thing. If somebody has harmed you or hurt you, you don't want to go to them because you want to see them fall or be upset or now have something over their head. You go to them because Jesus loves them, and this is what God commands you to do. It's very important. Matthew chapter 18, the scripture says, if there you have a brother that has something against you or you against him, you go to him privately. Church, listen carefully. If you're at odds with someone, if someone's upset with you, or you're upset with them, if you don't speak to them about it, if you don't go to them and say, listen, are we okay? Or is there something, maybe it's me, but is something wrong? If they say, well, you know what, and they begin to talk, then love covers a multitude of sin. The body comes back together again, there's unity, and it's beautiful, it's wonderful. If the person refuses to hear you, what does Matthew 18 say to do? Go get a godly brother, and in the face of two witnesses, yourself and a friend, go to that person and say, listen, you wouldn't even hear me last time. He's only here as a witness. Did you do this, or are you doing that, or did you say this about me, or whatever it is? The Bible says if he still will not hear you, go get another guy and come to his door. Say, look, these are only witnesses, and look, I'm only following what the Bible says here. Please, is this what you're doing? And the scripture says, if he still won't hear you, then it says to notify or let it come before the church. That doesn't mean you get up on Sunday morning and say, okay, on the docket today, we have Johnson versus Smith. That's not what it means either. It's not a public hearing. It means the church leadership's to get involved. Doesn't mean you run the guy's underwear up on a flag and say, hey. But you know what happens? This is exactly what happens, and this is why the church is powerless today. This is why the church is losing the spiritual battle. Susie hurt me. She really hurt me. Hi, Karen. Susie hurt me. And I need prayer. You have sinned galore. And listen, even though Susie hurt you, what you did, you wound up contacting someone, and now you've gossiped. You're a talebearer. Even though Susie's the one who sinned against you, you are now sinning greatly, probably worse than what she did to you, and you have brought others into the sin, and you have now been marked as a talebearer and a gossiper, and you've sinned against God. If somebody hurt you, you go to them privately and you get it fixed. But the moment you say, can you pray for me? Because never are you to do that. And the church is epidemic, pandemic, sick in this area. And God says, and if I move along, God will tell us soon, I will not hear you when you pray to me. You're my child. You're going to heaven when you die, but I'm not talking to you. I'm not going to answer your prayers. You're on your own until you go and set it straight with your friend and then come to the altar and I'll receive your gift. A lot of Christians' prayers are not getting heard because they've got sin going on in their lives and they'll justify it all up because somebody hurt their feelings. It's tragic. Verse 6, so Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Now, of course, the Midianite attack wasn't a pleasurable thing, but God knew exactly what it would be to get them around. And so what was the result of the attack of the Midianites was that they turned and cried out to the Lord. And that's a good thing. It goes on, verses 7 through 10. Let a man arise, we would cry out, in the things that the Lord desires to do. Verses 7 to 10. Look at this, what God desires to do. It says, and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, verse 8, that the Lord sent a prophet. We don't know who this guy is. There's no name of him. There's no record of who this is. He's just a man in the office of a prophet. To the children of Israel, who said to them, listen to this. This is the Lord speaking through a prophet. Remember, they've cried out to God. Here's the answer. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage. I deliver you out of the land of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all those who oppressed you. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. What does it say? But you, what? Have not obeyed my voice. Has not God done great things? But have they not disobeyed? Lord, help us, they cried. And God says, I've blessed you. But he is not saying to them that their cry is accepted because it's repentance. They're crying out because the grievous attack of the Midianites. And the prophet God sends arises and says, have I not done this? Have I not done the other? Have I not been good to you? The answer, obviously, Israel knew. Yes, you have. But you do not obey my voice. That's why this has come. Now, you can look at this. At this point, is Israel lamenting their situation? Possibly. Or are they truly repentful before God? Which one do you think God will accept? Judas was very, very sorry that he got caught for betraying Jesus. Peter broke down in tears of repentance for having betrayed Jesus. Did both of them betray Jesus? Absolutely. Wow. Why was Peter's confession accepted and not Judas's? Because God knew in Judas's heart he was absolutely... You know what it means? It means that if the deal would have happened, Judas would have been fine with it. Peter was not happy with the deal. Ain't no way. In other words, are you doing something? Am I doing something in my life? Or have we done something in our lives that we would have still been doing if we hadn't got caught? Where is Israel in this situation? Would they still been worshiping other gods and holding out and crying out to the Lord without the Midianites attacking? Apparently so. God used the Midianites to wake them up to their spiritual poverty, which was physically manifested in their terrible situation, and they cry out. But are they repenting? Is it resentment or is it repentance? Isn't this a tough thing? What is it? Are you sorry you got caught? How do I know? How can I discern that, Jack? What's the story? Well, let's put it to you like this. Would you still be doing it if you hadn't got caught? I guess so. Then you're not repentful. Was Israel repentful? Oh boy, listen. This is good theology. I want to make sure we get it. Forgiveness can only come when we've repented. Church, listen. Does God forgive? Yes. Does he just forgive? I mean, he's got a ladle and a big pot of forgiveness. He can scoop it in anytime he wants, but there's a prerequisite to him issuing forgiveness, and that is calling upon the Lord in repentance. He will not forgive us unless we repent. If we do not repent, then we remain unforgiven. You say, well, Jack, I'm a believer, and what if I'm withholding forgiveness? Am I going to go to hell? No. No, you're not going to go to hell because it has nothing to do with your salvation. If you're born again, if you're a Christian, you're going to heaven. You're just damaging your walk here and now. You're never going to advance anywhere. You're never going to grow spiritually. You're going to be in a You're going to be in a Christian bankruptcy all the days of your life until you repent. The Bible, 1 Corinthians, calls that a carnal Christian. But what's an eye-opener is this. The moment we attempt to justify our sin, he made me. Remember what Eve did in the garden? For Adam, Eve sinned, Adam transgressed. There's a difference. Eve sinned. What Adam did was worse. You know that? She got deceived by Satan. She sinned. Adam comes along, because he wasn't there. Adam comes along and says, man, you're messed up. And he entered into her sinful state willfully. She was deceived, but he willfully stepped into it. Hey, you and I were deceived, weren't we? But Jesus came and willfully entered into our situation because of love. So when the judgment came, Adam, what is this you've done? It's the woman you gave me. Eve? It's a snake. The snake did it. Friends, listen. If you and I are justifying our sinful situation by blaming others, it is proof positive we have not yet repented of our sin. When someone comes and says, I'm so sorry. I want to make it right. Really? Okay. Yeah, I want to make it right. If you wouldn't have provoked me, it wouldn't have happened. Get out. Go back to your room. That's not repentful. That's not repentance. You have to own it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you also. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. He's talking to the believer. Yeah, you're going to heaven, but I'm not going to talk to you anymore. God's saying, listen, like just like Israel of old. Didn't I bless you? Yeah, but you still disobeyed me. Church, in the book of Judges, was not Israel his nation? Yes. Are you a Christian? You're still his child. But don't ask him for anything for Christmas when this situation's in effect. When we confess our sins to the Lord and clear up the fog, then the communication lines are clean again. We don't cease to be his kids. We're just locked in our bedroom. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save you, nor is ear deaf that he cannot hear you. But your sins have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. Here's that verse, Matthew 18, verse 15. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out to him his fault. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others that you may go again, so that everything you may say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If that person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. If the church decides that you are right, but the other person won't accept it, treat that person as a pagan or a non-believer. They're still Christians. They're just being disciplined. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar. Go your way. God doesn't want anything from you unless you go fix it with your brother. Go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer to God your gift. Then 1 John 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Notice, that state of continuous revival of forgiveness for the believer is based upon us walking in the light. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that simple? It's so very clear. Where do we get? All the way down to like verse 6? This is terrible, huh? This is God speaking to his nation, Israel. But look, you and I as believers tonight, we have the Bible. We have the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Are we not to esteem others more highly than ourselves? We must, as believers and following Jesus, if there is aught, that is, if there is division between someone, you need to make an overture to fix that thing. For some of you, it might require phone calls or letters. I don't know what the situation is. We all have our thing. But God's grace is amazing. And as a church, do you realize that if, and I'm just speaking without any knowledge of anything on this, if there's someone that you know, Rocky is sleeping with Bubbles, and you know it. I don't know it. I'm the pastor of the church, but I don't know it. But you know it. According to the Bible, you're not supposed to come to me and have me go do it. That's wrong. And I won't do it. What I will do, if you come to me, now you've crossed that line. You just invited me right in to a wrong situation. Because what your God showed you that Rocky and Bubbles are doing whatever they're doing, you're supposed to go to them. You have no one to talk to in all this wide world. You have nowhere to go but on your knees in prayer. And in your Christian love toward Jesus Christ and obedience to his word, you go to that person and you say, Bubbles, stay away from him. And Rocky, run as far as you can. If they say, shut up, get out of here, you're judging us. Whoa, what kind of a Christian are you? Okay, now you come or get a godly brother or sister. That's what you're supposed to do. What, to go beat him up? No. But you don't tell people. You don't spread it around. So important. All this, if done right, stays God's hand of judgment, because God does not delight in judging. If we just walk right before him, it doesn't mean we're going to walk sinless. It means we walk right before him. If we walk right before him and obey his word, he's going to bless us.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Let a Man Arise. It's a presentation taken from the book of Judges chapter 6, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Remember that we recently wrapped up Pastor Jack's examination of the New Testament letter to the Ephesians. Well, we've placed that entire series all onto one MP3 CD. So here's our offer. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll be happy to send you Pastor Jack's series in Ephesians on one MP3 CD. You can call, click, or write. Just be sure and indicate the Ephesians Study Series on MP3 CD. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You can also visit us at realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org, or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be located at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.